All right, if you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, I want to share a word with you this morning. And I want to ask you a question. Or I want to make a phrase this morning, or say a phrase. Is there hope when everything is changing around you? Is there hope when everything is changing around you? Or changing around me? And you say, well, that's a simple question. But the truth is, many of us struggle with it. Many of us struggle because sometimes we misinterpret change that God brings into our life. Sometimes we look at change and we say change is God's disapproval of me. Change is not God's disapproval of you. Change sometimes comes in your life because it's time for God to take you to a new level in your life. It's time for Him to get you on a new plane, so that He can reveal something fresh to you in a new and fresh way. And so change is good. But it's not so much the change that we as believers struggle with. It's not the change that we at times struggle with. It's the process of change which we do not like. It's how God requires of us when we begin to step into moments of change in our life. Every believer, sometime or another, God will push you or try to move you into a greater walk with Him, to a greater level of revelation, to a greater level of being used. And change can come corporately on the church. Change can come individually. And there's times when God brings change into your life. Now, change is not just change of location in your life. Change has to do with the inner you. It has to do with what God is doing in you. And when God changes in you, then He'll work through you, through the change that He did inside you. That's how God works change. And so the question is there hope when everything around me is changing? Is there hope when everything around me? Terry Wallace, at 19 years old, was in a major car accident. I read this week. And doctors said that he would not live. He was put on life support. And at 19 years old, he was in this car accident. He was on life support. The doctors told his mother that he is not going to make it. He is brain dead. And his mother believed God and said, no, he's going to live. I'm going to keep him on life support. And so he was 19. And for the next 20 years, he remained on life support. His mother would go in every day and read the newspaper to him. She would read the newspaper to him. She would read the Word of God to him every day for 20 years. Matter of fact, he went into a coma in 1983 is when he went into a coma. His mom would pray. She'd read the paper. Now, how many know that if you were in a coma for 20 years, how many know that outside world would change a lot? How many know there'd be a lot of change that takes place in your life in 20 years if you just... Listen, my head spins just for 4 days of not knowing what's going on. I could imagine what 20 years is like in someone's life. Can you imagine? Listen, here's what happened in the 20 years that he was in a coma. There were 4 presidents, the space shuttle tragedy, the fall of communism. There was the creation of all technology, cell phones, DVDs, iPads, and other technology. There were 4 wars. There were crises in high schools such as Columbine. There were several national disasters. There were 3 major terrorist attacks that happened in this time. There were 2 presidential scandals. And in the midst of all that, after 20 years, he woke up. And when he woke up, he didn't even really recognize who his mother was. 20 years he was in a coma. Now, I'm telling you, in a moment, things can change in our life. Things can change in 20 minutes, 20 days, 20 months. Things can change in our life. Have you ever tried to script your life? Have you ever tried to script your life and tried to script your life in the place where you said, okay, I'm going to be married by the time I'm 26. I'm going to have 2.1 kids. I'm going to have a fence. I'm going to have a dog. You know, and all of that, and all of a sudden you're 35, and you go, okay, I just want a date. You know, And you script your life, you try to script your life, and it gets just messed up, then it just doesn't go exactly how you are trying to plan it out to go, and how change can happen in your life. See, I read something this week, and I want to share this with you just a second. It says, how you know you're going to have a bad day. It says, I'm going to give you a couple. It says, you know you're going to have your bad day when your twin sister forgets your birthday. You know you're going to have a bad day when 60 Minutes news team is standing outside your door when you walk out in the morning. You know you're going to have a bad day when your car horn gets stuck behind a motorcycle gang. You know you're going to have a bad day when the bird that sits out your window is no longer a dove but a buzzard. You know you're going to have a bad day when your wife wakes up in the morning and she calls you Bill but your name is George. We know anything can happen in a year. Anything can happen in a moment that can bring change to our life. It can be good and it can be bad. But it's not so much the change, it's how we respond to the change in our life. Matter of fact, good change and bad change, either way, there's always a response that God wants to bring to our life. I want to show you a verse of scripture that was challenging in my devotional life. And it was something that spoke to me about change. And I began to read it and study it. It was an amazing verse on change. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want to read a couple of verses of scripture. Here we have Moses' last words to the children of Israel. This was his instruction to them. Moses' last word to the children of Israel. And Moses speaks of three big changes that were taking place in their life. Three big changes that were getting ready to happen in the midst of their life. Verse 10 of chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. He said, he found him in a desert land and in the wilderness, in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him and instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Verse 11, as the eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led them. This is a great verse of scripture. And in these verses, Moses talks about three big changes that were coming to the children of Israel and that were happening. He was going to deal with them, number one, about moving from the wilderness into the promised land. About moving, a change, a move in their life. Has anybody ever had the move? Have you ever had the move in that to a new city or to a new place, and you understood the change that took place when you moved? Here Moses is dealing. He says, listen, you're going to move from the wilderness into the promised land. You're going to move from a different place, a new location. God, a lot of times when he brings change in our life, we have to move from one place in our life to another place. But usually when God brings that change of movement in our life, it's never to a place that's worse than where we were. It's always God's desire to take us into better things. How many know God wants to take you to better things this morning? So change comes that way. Secondly, he's going to talk about that Moses is going to die, that he is going to be gone. And when he is gone, there's going to be a change in leadership in the life of the children of Israel. When he is gone, it's a season change. There's a change. It's a new season in life. There's a new leadership change. Joshua is now going to lead them. Moses is going to die, but Joshua is going to take them into the next season of their life. Many times when God brings change into our life, something has to die in our life in order to move forward in God. When we change seasons in our life, every time God takes you into a better place, something has to die that was in the past that you have to lay down, you have to give up in order for God to take you into something fresh and something new. Moses was going to die and Joshua now was going to be leading them. Thirdly, he began to deal with them about the fruitfulness in their life. He's going to talk about them, about the they no longer are going to live this nomadic life as now they are going to have an agricultural life. When they were in the wilderness, God did miracles every day. Matter of fact, he did a miracle every day to feed them. He did a miracle every day for them to have water. Every day God provided for them supernaturally through the miracles every day. He gave them manna. He gave them water from a rock. He kept them warm. He kept them cool in the hot of the day while they were in the wilderness. But now Moses says, you're now going to be going into the promised land. And what's going to happen is that what's going to change in your life is the way fruitfulness comes in your life. When you move to a new change and season in your life, all of a sudden what was fruitful yesterday won't be fruitful when you get to that place of change in your life. There's going to be a new economy. Now you're going to live by the land. Now you're going to live by what you sow, you're going to reap. Now, and before when you was in the wilderness, you didn't have to worry about what you ate every day. God took care of that. Now as you go into a new place, God says you're going to live by what you sow. Listen, the responsibility becomes greater. And when God moves people into change and into greater places in their lives, responsibility changes. There's a greater demand on our life. God's fruitfulness comes out of what we sow. We sow into something, we also reap that out. That is not only a principle of the soil, but it is a principle of life. And so God is getting ready to bring change into their life. Now, this is what's interesting about this scripture. Moses uses something that Jesus often used in scripture. God is about to use word pictures here. Moses is using a word picture to help put into the minds of the children of Israel about change. He wants to paint this picture on the back of their mind. That's why Jesus used parables. Jesus, many of the sermons that Jesus preached, many of us can't even say. But we can talk about a lot of the stories and parables that Jesus talked about because it somewhat goes like this when you think about it. Let me test you on this. How many of you know what the fourth beatitude is? But if I ask you that, you have to go find it to see it, right? But if I ask you this, if I say, tell me the story of the prodigal son and pick it up in the pig pen. Many of you can stand up and take that story from right that point and tell the rest of the story. Why? Because Jesus used word pictures in order to bring about a picture. And this is what Moses is doing. He said, I'm going to paint a picture for you in this scripture so that when you get in the place when change is happening, you can have a mental picture of how to respond to change in your life. Many of you are going through changes. Many of you, not the change, but going through changes. Many of you are going to have change happen in your life. You young people, you're going to experience change in the course of you. Some of you may be in the moment of change in your life, transition in your life. You've got to understand that God does not do change to make things worse for you. God changes to make things better for you because He's got great things for you. So He uses this word picture. God is about to give you a picture here that how to respond always in the midst of change. And of course, we begin to look at this. Now, here's what you have to understand about change. Change is interesting when it comes to our lives and when it comes to the church. Because there's two things that hate change. The spirit of religion hates change. You hear what I'm saying? When God moves in a church or moves in the lives of people, that spirit of religion hates change. Here's the reason why. The second reason about change that you need to know is that the spirit of control hates change. Because change takes things out of your hands and puts them in God's hands. And many people want to control everything God does in their life. And so what happens is the spirit of religion, that's what the spirit of religion does. The spirit of religion says, I'm smarter than God. The spirit of religion says, we always did it that way. That's the way it's always going to be. The spirit of religion says, we're not moving into something fresh and new. We're going to live and stay in the same old, dry, crusty place we've always lived in. We're going to live and die here. Here's what I say. Last one to die, turn out the lights. Because that's what religion will do. Religion will dry you up. Religion is not a source of strength. You can have religion and not have God. You can have religion and not be spiritual. You can have religion and not know the presence of God or even know the things of God. And so what happens is, through change, God elevates us. It's what God uses to elevate the believer. It's what God uses to take us to another place. But He does not just do it. Listen, at work, how many of you have received promotions at work that were undeserved? Undeserved? Obviously, you've done something good. Maybe you've had favor, right? But how many of you promote people because I like the way you dress? Right, Pastor Jim? Have you got a promotion because they say, man, I like that long hair you got? We're going to make you in charge of the whole hospital. You'll receive that, right? But change doesn't... Listen, promotion comes because there's something that we've done. We've been faithful in some area. And so promotion comes when we've been faithful. God says, listen, I'm about to bring a change in your life. Don't be afraid of it. It's something good. He does that with churches. He does that in how He moves in the midst of our lives. So what does He use? He's giving us a picture here in the book of Deuteronomy of how a eagle deals with its nest, how it deals with its young, how it deals with its children. He gives us this picture here when we begin to look at this and see this. It's the philosophy of disturbance. When God brings change, there is this philosophy of disturbance that begins to happen in our life. How to handle this change? Let's look at this picture of this eagle's nest. Let's begin to look at what He is saying here in verse 11. He says this, as an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young. He says, as an eagle stirs up her nest. Now, if you look in verse 12 at the end, it says, so the Lord. In other words, as an eagle, He's given you a picture. As the eagle does, so does the Lord do. As the eagle does, so does the Lord do. As you see the picture of how this eagle stirs change in the life of the believer, so the Lord does in us. He gives us this picture of the eagle and how He brings change to our life. Now, there's three things that we're going to look at. First of all, we're going to see this. Number one, we're going to see three things that He breaks us to make it uncomfortable for our lives. He broods over us to make us aware. He bears us to make us ready. That's the three processes of change in our life. That's the three processes. Now, number one, let's look at it. It says, the first one is the revelation that this, the God who breaks up the nest. When God begins to bring change, He will break up the nest. This eagle, as we see, as an eagle stirs up the nest, or some translation says, break up the nest. What does that mean? What does it mean that the eagle stirs up the nest or breaks up the nest? You know, when an eagle sets its nest, over the course of time, an eagle's nest begins to get bigger and broader. But what a mother eagle will do is that in the course of time, she will take the feathers of the animals that she has killed for food. She will take the skin. She will take all of the feathering, and she will put all of that in her nest. She will cover it in her nest so that when her eaglets are born, they get in that nest and they're like, ooh, this is the life. Ooh, this is like the penthouse in here. And it's like all of the things that, and she makes it bigger and bigger, and she makes it more comfortable and more comfortable. The mother will line that nest with comfortability, and that baby eagle will be like, man, this is great. What is mom going to bring me to eat today? This is the life. And when it gets cold, they get down in those feathers, and when it's hungry, mom brings its food and it's ready for life. But what happens is when the eagle begins to stir the nest up, Mom comes home one day, and all of a sudden, Mom starts throwing out all of the fur and all of the skin that's in that nest. That mother will come and she'll start throwing feathers. You ever heard, feathers are flying? You ever heard that statement? Feathers are flying. Well, that eagle will come home and she'll take all of that skin and all of that stuff for the comfortability of those eaglets, and she'll take it out of that nest and she'll throw it out. And that little baby eaglet's going there. We'll call him Jack. Little Jack is there going, what's up with Mom? Mom's going crazy. Something's happening with Mom. She's full of the devil. Somebody call somebody. Mom's stirring all the house up. She will take all of those feathers out. She'll take all of those feathers out and move all of those out. And the only thing that is left is the sticks and the pointy sticks. And what happens is that eaglet who had it so good and so comfortable, now it's become uncomfortable. In other words, you can't stay in this position any longer. It's time for you to get a new place. That's what that mother would do. Maybe that's happened in your life. Maybe where you're at in life, God has taken away all of the comfortability that is in your life. And you're saying, why am I going through this? Why is that? Why all of a sudden people who are nice to me are this or here? Why is this happening? Why is it? It's because God has got into the nest of your comfortability and He's beginning to throw fur. He's beginning to take all the comfortability out of your life. Well, I don't want to leave. I want to stay. I don't want to leave. And you just keep getting stuck. And that uncomfortability is irritating you. What God is saying, hey, little Jack, it's time to fly on your own, my friend. It's time to move into something different. It's time to move into a new season that's in your life. And the first thing that happens is God will begin to bring an uncomfortability to where you are. It's because God is trying to get your attention. That this is no longer a place for you to be. In other words, God is getting ready to shake things up in your life. It's interesting. Y'all ever get medicine from the doctor? And if it sits, it always says shake well. Right? Shake well before you take it. That's kind of like some of you. In other words, before God can use you, He needs to shake you. He needs to shake you well before you can be used. You have to understand that God is bringing change in your life. He's bringing it in order to you for so that you can be used, so that God can move you toward your destiny. And what you think is uncomfortable is that God is just trying to move you into a new place and a new season in your life. He's stirring up the nest. And when God begins to work in a fellowship, in a church, He does the same. He stirs up the nest. In other words, it's the change that gets to move you forward. All of a sudden, that eaglet is not going to be able to stay in that nest very long. He knows that something's happening. Change is happening. He's like, what in the world is going on? I want to tell you, I've got a friend. And he's had the same job for 38 years. He's done the same job. And he's had a good life. And it's interesting. He's walked through some battles recently. He struggled with his daughter being on heroin. He struggled with some physical issues in his life. But way back, 30 years ago, God called him to preach, and he never did it. And he maintained in the same place. And all of a sudden, he had all these irritable, all these struggles in his life. And now he's getting ready to retire and to leave a job he's had for 38 years, and he thinks it's a bad thing. He's like, what have I done? Why is God so mad at me? Why is God so mad? Why is God having all these things come on me? Why is all this change happening? Listen, he's somebody that was knows change and doesn't like change. He's lived in the same town all of his life. He's had the same schedule every day in his life. He's one of the most disciplined guys I know when it comes to certain things. He's always done, he's banked at the same place. He's lived in the same house. He's walked the same streets. He has the same schedule every day of his life. I'm telling you the truth. And all of a sudden now, all of these changes are taking place and he thinks God is mad at him. I looked at him the other day and I said, God's not mad at you, man. God's just beginning to stir up the destiny that has been in you for 30 years. He's beginning to make the nest uncomfortable so you'll get up and go do what God's called you to do. What's happening in your life is God's not mad at you. He's trying to get you someplace, sweetheart. He's trying to get you to a place where He can use you. That's where change is coming. Well, He's using me right where I am. I just don't want to move from it. Maybe He's got something better for you. And He's made things uncomfortable for you because it's forcing you to do something you've never done in your life. Does it feel like sometimes life is taking, you know, the footing out of you? The ground has been pulled out from under you. The rug has been pulled out from under your life. Everything underneath you is gone. Everything is taken away. Your footing has been all of a sudden, the footing that you stood on all of a sudden. Listen, here's what's happening. God is getting ready for you to step into a new season in your life. Change is happening because God's getting ready to bring you into a new season in your life. You say, well, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to church. I'm attending church. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Well, you know what? Maybe God's bringing change because now God don't want you coming to classes. Maybe God wants you teaching classes. Maybe the change that God's bringing in your life is because God wants to move you into another level of ministry in your life. And you've been so used to sitting where you are and staying where you are. And God wants to move you forward. But you have not received what God's trying to do. And you're wondering, why do I feel like life has been swept out underneath me? Because God wants to finish what He's doing in you so that He can bring the change that is coming into your life. I want to close with this morning. There's a Greek poem or prose that goes like this. He said, come to the edge. They said, we won't. He said, come to the edge. They said, we can't. He said, come to the edge. They said, we are afraid. He said, come to the edge. And they came. And He pushed them. And they flew. See, God brings change in order to move us to a place where He can use us in a greater dimension. God is bringing change. You say, well, I feel like my feet has been taken out under me. I feel like this irritation that's going on in my life and this frustration is we want to fight it back. But the truth is we've got to let God do the work that He wants to do in our lives because He's preparing us for something greater.